It's not that often on the Chris and Rob late night talk show that we're joined by a true adventurer, a true hero, and someone Harrison Ford can truly look up to. Captain Gene Savoy is about to embark on a 7-year ocean trip that will take him from Lima, Peru, all the way around the Pacific Ocean, probably skirting around Fiji, around the Cape of Good Hope in Africa, back across the Atlantic Ocean, down the Amazon River, and back home again. Hello, Captain Savoy.
Good evening.
How you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing very well. It's a little bit warm down here in the tropics, but other than that, I'm fine.
We're placing a long-distance international phone call to Lima, Peru. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
What's Lima like? I've never been there.
Well, Lima is on the desert, very near the ocean, and the port of Lima is called Callao, which is just a few miles away. The weather here is very warm. It's like June here because the seasons are reversed.
Now, Captain Savoy, what do you hope to accomplish by setting out on a small boat and sailing to Hawaii from Peru and then around the rest of the world?
Well, it's nice of you to ask, Chris, and to have your interest in our expedition. I've been captain of three ships. The first ship was made in 1969, which was a boat made out of reeds, or as they call them here in Peru, totora. And these reeds are tied together like in a bundle. And we sailed this ship from northern Peru up to Panama and then up into Mexico, at least on the coast, to show that ancient Peruvians could have used these reed boats to migrate to Mexico. The second ship that I had was oceanic research vessel, where we studied currents and winds in the Caribbean, the Atlantic, and the Pacific. The present expedition is the third of a series of ships called the Feathered Serpent III expedition, and it's a wooden ship made out of mahogany, which is based on an ancient design that we found on ceramic pottery here in Peru. And we've copied this vessel, and we've, to the best of our ability, by using Peruvian shipwrights, we've created this boat by hand labor, which is what we call a double-hulled ship, which you might want to call a catamaran in modern terms. It's about 75 feet in length. It has two big dragon heads at the prows, which are based on designs that we found, again, on these ceramic pottery vessels.
You make these boats yourself and sail them across the ocean based on the simple designs?
The ships themselves are made by Peruvian shipwrights that are an old seafaring people. They've used all the old hand tools. It's taken us 2 years to build this ship by hand.
Well, what navigational tools will you use?
Well, we're going to use, that's quite an interesting question, thank you. We're using ancient navigational techniques or methods, using navigational techniques embracing the sun and the stars. However, in addition to that, we're going to back up all of our findings by scientific instruments using a sextant and GPS satellite and so on to make sure, or at least correct or check how accurate these ancient methods were. So we'll always know where we are or where we are supposed to be.
If you find that the ancient methods of navigation and circumventing the globe are accurate, will that prove anything about ancient history?
Well, we're not only making a replica vessel to show that these ancient people had the technology to build ancient ships or ships, ocean-going vessels, but we're going to use the winds and the currents to transport us, trans-Pacific voyages. We believe that ancient Peru was a place that people were coming and going or arriving and departing from. And this expedition will try to replicate what was done in ancient times.
You're talking about pre-Columbian times?
I beg your pardon?
You're talking about pre-Columbian times? How long ago do you think that these travelers...
Actually, we discovered about several years ago in the jungles of northeastern Peru, a very large city covered by the jungle. And this city, within it, we found three huge monolithic tablets of stone weighing up to 10 tons with inscription. And on those monolithic tablets, we found these inscriptions to be Hebrew and Egyptian and Mesopotamic.
Now, how could the people in Peru have known those languages?
I don't know if they knew them or not, but it at least indicates, Chris, that some way these people here in Peru had knowledge, or perhaps this knowledge or the language was introduced to Peru in ancient times. How else could we explain the existence of these inscriptions? So, to be blunt, we're going back about 4,000 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
We're talking to Captain Gene Savoy on the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show tonight, who is about to embark Sunday, if I remember. Sunday, you're going to leave on a trip, and you're going to head eastward.
We're leaving westward. From the Naval Academy, which is a Peru, which is like the Annapolis of the United States. And the Peruvian Navy and the cadets have all offered their services to assist us. They're going to be monitoring our ship movement, and we'll be leaving on Sunday into the Pacific toward Hawaii and thence to Japan. We probably will arrive at Yokohama. The president of the Republic of Peru has written to the prefecture there of Yokohama to assist our movements. And from there, we'll be going south to Hong Kong, well, I should say Shanghai, Hong Kong, Indonesia, and thence down to Malaysia, then to India, then to Africa, and, of course, into the Mediterranean, Egypt, Israel, and so on, across the Atlantic, into Mexico, Central America, down to Brazil, and then returning to Peru in 7 years, we hope.
Now, are you going to do this entire trip in 1 7-year stint, or are you going to do a little bit at a time and take a break?
We'll take a break so we can do some land explorations. I've been, itching to get into China. I've been there before, but I'd like to do some exploring. And we'd like to make some films, documentaries, and write some books about our trips so that we can get back to the people to explain to them or describe our adventure, if you want to call it that.
Well, how many people are in your crew, Captain Gene?
Well, the ship can sleep 16. However, we're going to limit it to about 7 or 8 sailors on each leg. We have about 50 to 100 people signed up to go on these trips, so we'll continually change the crew members. We have Japanese and English, various people from all parts of the world that want to contribute, or participate, I should say.
Captain Savoy, you've been an adventurer all your life. Is that your trade, and how did you get involved in it?
Well, it goes way back to my early days in Oregon when I was a member of the Archaeological Society there, and I used to study the Indians and these pictographic and petroglyphic writings along the Columbia River that are etched and painted on rocks. And I became very interested in these glyphs, and I've traced them all the way down to Peru, where we found similarities. And I began to study the history of Peru and the Incas and pre-Inca people. And that's how it all started. I came here in 1957, and I've been exploring ever since then. And we found a large number of ruins in the jungle. As Jacques Cousteau explored the oceans, I've specialized in exploring the jungles of Peru, Brazil, Venezuela, Colombia, Ecuador, Guatemala, Honduras, Nicaragua, Mexico, and so on.
Well, what are some of the most interesting things you found in the jungles? I'm sure you've got more stories to tell than we have time to hear them on tonight's program. But what are some of the most interesting things you could tell us about the jungles of South America?
Well, you know, one of the great cities that's been found in ancient, well, in modern times was Machu Picchu, found by Hiram Bingham in 1911. And that's thought to be the lost city of the Incas. Actually, in 1964, we went further than he did and found the real city, which is 7 days deeper in the jungle. We also found a large city called Grand Pahuatan. The last city we found, the most recent, is a city consisting of white limestone buildings covering 100 square miles, consisting of about 15,000 buildings. That's our last find.
Wow.
And you've discovered these places all by yourself, huh?
Well, nobody finds anything by themselves. We have up to 80 or 90 members of our expeditions representing different scientific disciplines. We have up to 100 horses and maybe 100 machete men and porters. And all the Peruvians, of course, from the Institute of Culture to the police to the military, participate, the Air Force, and so on. So it's really a group effort.
Well, when you're traipsing around the jungles of Peru, do you ever run into the rebel guerrillas that are supposedly hiding out in the mountains of Peru all the time, the Shining Path?
Well, actually, I've been very lucky. I've only had my camp attacked once by these terrorists. About 300 attacked our camp one time a few years ago. And we only had about two or three policemen with us, and we didn't have any ammunition to speak of. So very fortunately, we were able, through the wisdom of some of our police escorts, to talk our way out of it.
You bribed them, didn't you?
Yes, we have been attacked.
You bribed them, didn't you?
Well, not really. We did
really?
It through psychology and the wisdom of these old Peruvian policemen. Thank God we got them around, that they're very experienced and, well... Even the terrorists are human sometimes, not that I like them, but we talked our way out of it, to make a long story short.
What do you plan to do after you go around the world in 7 years? Do you have anything big after that?
I'll be 77 years old.
Is it time to take it easy?
I'll probably sit down and write my memoirs.
Yeah, you're already 70 years old. Has anyone given you any criticism about being 70 years old and going on such a courageous expedition?
No, I can't recall.
Good. Because there's a lot of people...
Hey, listen, age, life begins at 70.
There's a lot of people who might put you down for that, and those people definitely are wrong, but...
I haven't met anybody that would even think such a thing. I think everybody's kicked me in the butt and said, good luck to you, sir.
You're one of those older fellows that looks like you're still 40, aren't you?
Well, some people say that because we think young and live young and... Who's going to give up just because you're 70? You keep going.
Well, Captain Gene, now, your thesis is that 4,000 years ago, you believe there was travel between the Middle East and the ancient cultures there and the New World in what's now Peru. When is it commonly accepted that people started inhabiting Peru? When is the oldest?
Well, there's been evidence that we can go back to primitive inhabitants, maybe 40 or 100,000 years ago, but it has been shown that people inhabited the area up to 11,000 years ago. But of great interest to me, Chris, is the Hebrew inscriptions that we have found in the ruins of Peru indicate to me, or at least suggest to me, that perhaps King Solomon, who sailed away to this place in the Bible called Ophir to secure his gold for the building of the temple, I believe could very well have been Peru. Nobody knows where Ophir is, or was, I should say, and everything is beginning to point to Peru as having been the biblical Ophir of King Solomon.
Wow.
Have you heard about maps that predate the classical period of Western civilization that show not only the eastern coast of South America, but the landmass of Antarctica beneath the ice sheets. And the implication there being that underneath, ancient man wouldn't have been able to see underneath the ice sheets without advanced technological seismic equipment.
Well, of course, I've read all that material, but I'm not an individual that's going to stick a nose into areas in which he's not familiar. There's so many disciplines in science today. I do believe that there was pre-Columbian contact between Asia and perhaps Europe and South America. I do believe that.
We found
evidence of that.
These theories
are wonderful, but you got to have the facts. And this is the first indication that we've had that there was pre-Columbian contact with the Americas. And that's, to me, very exciting. And it's taken 20 years off my life. So I'm not 70. I feel 50.
Well, Captain Gene Savoy, what did the Hebrew inscriptions say that you found in Peru?
Well, what we found in the Hebrew and Sinaitic, what we call Sinaitic inscriptions, and the Egyptian itself, indicates to us that, and reveals to us that these glyphs indicate a kind of a religious, if I might use that term, or spiritual contact. There's a sign called Nether, N-E-T-H-E-R, which was used on ancient Egyptian ships of a highly spiritual nature that indicated long voyages to a place called Punt, which in my opinion is Ophir. Again, it indicates that Peru could very well have been the Ophir of the Bible. And we're going back a long time, what, to 1,000 B.C., 3,000 years ago. But this is very exciting.
Thanks for taking the time to talk to us tonight, Captain Gene Savoy. To the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, we certainly wish you well on your expedition across the ocean, and good luck, and don't let any sharks bite you.
I will not. Thanks, Chris, for calling.
Hey, you bet.
Good night.
Good night. Captain Gene Savoy, hey, like I said, it's not that often that you get a real adventurer and hero on the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
We should do that more often, though.
What, get adventurers on the show?
We could just have a guy pause a second after we speak. He could be calling from Norwood, and he could pretend like there's a satellite delay.
Yeah, in case you are wondering why that sounded stilted, I guess they got like a couple seconds delay by the time my voice goes through this microphone, bounces up to the satellite in outer space, and back down to Lima, Peru, where Captain Savoy is chilling. This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. Phone lines are open at 749-1444.
I didn't get it.
Get what?
Anything that he was talking about.
It's because you're stupid.